It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, new research points to the ways that women face age discrimination at work, regardless of how old or young they are. We'll talk to a Wisconsin psychologist about the impact that can have and the ways we can improve it. First, Courtney Everett joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this show and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Hey, Courtney.
Hey there, Rob. We are looking for 20 people to join in with this gift this hour. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours right now online at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Federal and tax state dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. However, voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on WPR possible. Because Wisconsin Public Radio matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And fun fact, Rob, it is $10 Tuesday. So you can support WPR with a gift of $10 a month or more and score the new WPR baseball cap. This thing is pretty neat. It has a retro radio design, WPR branding, of course, and it's more than just another hat. It's a statement of your commitment to fact-based news and quality entertainment.
Now, I saw Mr. Larry Mueller was wearing one of these
hats. Was he?
I'm not clear on how he got it so early.
He's Larry Mueller.
He got a factory second or something like that. I don't know how
that works. He's Larry Mueller. Let's just put it that way.
It's a good hat, though. I may have to end up with one of my own.
I think so. And so you can get this amazing special offer today. So make your gift of $10 a month now and ask for your WPR baseball cap at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've ever sat in your car while listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and you just stayed in the car, even though you were there already, wherever you were going, but you're in the car because you want to hear the rest of that thing, you've experienced a driveway moment. I'll bet you've had one, maybe even pretty recently.
Yeah, and so you can support your source for radio so compelling that you don't want to miss a word. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Perhaps you're driving right now. We want you to be safe, but you can pull over and make your gift.
Yeah, make that driveway moment the moment you give when you get there. Now, we know you value your time. We value your time as well. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It is so quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes. Support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will make WPR possible when you give.
And happy $10 Tuesday. We have a special offer for you today only. Ask for the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. Support the WPR programs you value and add this stylish hat to your wardrobe. Ask for yours now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you can be one of the first people to wear this hat, to sport this hat in your neck of the woods. You can get it right now with that gift of $10 a month. That's today only at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And hey, a great way to do this is to become a sustainer. That means you make these ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio to provide reliable support for the programs you love. You can do it from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we want to thank Anne in Madison, who says, I appreciate the great local programming WPR offers, such as The Larry Mueller Show and Central Time. There you go, Rob.
Thank you so much, Anne. Thank you for listening. Thank you for appreciating what you hear. And thank you for giving so that you can keep hearing it on into the future. You can join Anne right now in support of great radio, great public radio here in Wisconsin with your very important gift of whatever amount you choose. Takes just a few minutes. Online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. Women can face a lot of kinds of discrimination in the workplace. Some recent research in the Harvard Business Review found that ageism can be particularly pervasive for women because it's not limited to just one age group. Researchers met with hundreds of women in leadership positions at various workplaces and found that they experienced age discrimination at pretty much every age. According to the study, early in their careers, women are considered too young to be credible and responsible, and they're often more harshly judged on their physical appearance. Later in their careers, women are sometimes considered too old for their employer to invest in and rely on. The research found that there's no real right age for a woman in the workplace. Even midway through their careers, women might face discrimination because of their family responsibilities or even impending menopause. We're learning more about the impact this kind of discrimination can have, what we can do to counteract and prevent it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? Has your age impacted your job, your career, or your workplace? Have you had people treat you in a particular way because you're too young or too old in their eyes? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Morgan Gerald is an assistant professor of psychology at UW-Madison. She researches the sociocultural factors that influence race and gender stereotypes. Morgan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm really happy to be here.
We have this report from Harvard Business Review, Morgan, finding age discrimination at multiple ages for women. No surprise to you, I'm guessing. Have you seen similar like things to this in your own work?
Yeah, for sure. And we often see in so many cases for women where they're caught in situations where there's this double bind or where they're faced with these two contradictory demands where there's no way they can win.
And we might think of ageism. When I hear the word, I certainly think of discrimination against someone because they are older. This report, again, finds that, no, it could also affect people who are younger, women in particular who are younger. How does that play out?
Yeah, for sure. It can happen in a lot of ways for younger women. First, we kind of assume that younger people, but especially younger women, don't have the kinds of experiences or skills that are really going to help them succeed in the workplace. So they're not seen as being mature enough, and they're not trusted or respected enough to handle certain responsibilities. And the other thing is that younger women are often mistaken to serve in roles that are more like supportive or more administrative. So they're often mistaken for being like a secretary or an administrative assistant rather than being the leader in a group. And then last is this kind of appearance component. So we know that women are really expected to invest in their appearance, to want to look good. And then this is another kind of double bind. We expect this, we have this cultural expectation of investing in appearance, but also when younger women look more attractive, people in the workplace tend to assume that that means that they're not dedicating the kind of energy they need to be successful and complete certain tasks in the workplace.
Then we go to the older end of the career spectrum, women reporting that they hit a ceiling. Men their age may be being considered for those top leadership positions. Women their age, again, report to these researchers, my workplace thinks I'm too old to invest in at this point. What's driving that discrimination now against women at the older range that men might experience some, but apparently not the same level?
For sure. So this is more in line with the traditional ideas we have about ageism, that we have stereotypes about older folks that they have diminished productivity, more cognitive decline. And these stereotypes are really exacerbated for women, for older women. And so even at much younger ages than older men, some older women are seen to be, not a great fit for certain leadership positions. And often people are just kind of waiting for older women employees to just quietly leave so that younger talent can take their place.
So people might hope for some consolation. There'll be this magic area between seen as too young and too old for women. But hang on. This report heard from some women aged 40 to 60. Search committees saying they didn't hire women in their late 40s because of, quote, too much family responsibility and impending menopause, end quote. This came up at a couple different workplaces, or, quote, women in their 50s and 60s may not have aged well and do not look vital. So there's no, there's not even a middle zone where things are working out well.
There's no way to win. And particularly this motherhood penalty, working mothers really pay a significant penalty, especially in terms of wages for having children. So it's assumed that they can't invest the kind of energy they need to in their job because they have to be taking care of their families. And what I always find so interesting about that is that there's not a parenthood penalty, right? So men actually aren't penalized for being fathers. If anything, being a father enhances their wages and other work benefits because it's assumed that they need to take care of their family. And that same thing isn't happening for women.
I want to throw in another wrinkle now. In the youngism discrimination or stereotyping of younger women in the workplace, even more so for non-white women, the report finds. Could you talk about the additional stresses, the additional discrimination for a young woman of color in the workplace?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so young women of color in the workplace face what we call double jeopardy, or they're not only facing stereotypes related to their young age, but they're also facing stereotypes related to their race. And so they might be dealing with stereotypes, for example, related to being unintelligent or being underqualified for a role based on their race. And this just exacerbates all of those age stereotypes as well. And so in the face of this kind of bias, a lot of young women of color feel like they really have to push themselves and expend all this extra effort to really prove that they belong in the workplace.
We're talking to UW-Madison psychology professor Morgan Gerald about how age discrimination affects women in the workplace at every age, young or old. A new report from Harvard Business Review talked to women of all ages in the workplace, found a lot of stories backing that up. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had an experience along these lines as a woman in a workplace? Why do you think it is? Why do you think women get apparently more age discrimination than do men? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up, a look at some possible solutions. That's next here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Morgan Gerald is with us, assistant professor of psychology at UW-Madison, who studies the social cultural factors that influence race and gender stereotypes. She's with us today for a look at the ways women face age discrimination in the workplace, regardless of their age or experience. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, Morgan, let's talk about some solutions. Let's imagine somebody who's in charge of hiring or promoting employees who doesn't want to deliberately discriminate against women because of their age. What kind of things can they think about to make sure they don't accidentally or implicitly do that?
Of course. So I think the first step is really being aware that age bias exists. That's always the key in reducing bias, is first recognizing that it exists. And what's really interesting about ageism, like we were noting earlier, is that often people don't recognize it as a form of bias, especially for younger people. And so we know that like we should be combating certain forms of discrimination like racism or sexism, but ageism is something that we often neglect. And so I would recommend that when employers are thinking about certain HR trainings or DEI trainings, that they also make sure that something about gendered age bias is included in those trainings, just like other forms of discrimination. And second, once we kind of have that foundation, I think trying not to focus on age when hiring. I know it sounds pretty obvious and maybe easier said than done, but really trying to make decisions about hiring and promotion based on people's skills and their experiences and not on factors that might be associated with their age. And that's not to say that we should totally ignore age, because there's also lots of interesting research that shows that intergenerational work teams and work groups and also mixed gender work groups actually produce the best kind of work and have the best kinds of outcomes at work. And so another way you can think about it is wanting to create these kind of intergenerational and mixed gender teams and try to encourage each other to learn from one another and also to collaborate on different projects at work.
Let's bring on a caller now. Taryn is with us in Toma. Taryn, hello.
I work at a distribution center. I've worked there for a few months, and I've noticed that a lot of my older managers who've worked there for decades, they're a little more discriminatory based on gender for me. But the younger generation of managers, they're more open to it. They're like, wait a minute, girls can work too. They got power. They can do what we need them to do. So I think there's like some sort of like age gap kind of thing, how like the older generation is used to women staying home more often, but the younger generation sees the female power and they accept women more eagerly into their workforce. So that's all I wanted to say.
Taryn, thanks for the call. Morgan, do you see maybe generational changes in attitudes toward women and women's ages in the workforce?
Oh, totally. I see it every day, especially with my students that I'm teaching in my classes. Certainly, like, younger generations are just a lot more progressive on these issues, and they've really been socialized and raised in a way where they don't feel like there are as many boundaries around what they can do and what others can do. And they kind of approach all of this from a much more empowering stance that everyone can perform well and that there's space for everyone to perform well.
Thanks for that call. Mary joins us now in the Fox Valley. Mary, hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for this topic. You know, I'm listening to all these different trajectories, and I am an employer myself. I'm an executive. I'm 45. And I really wanted to mention how appearance in the workplace also creates additional expenses for women. When we do finally make it, so to speak, the cost associated with our wardrobe, all of the toiletries, all the things that, you know, I think women can appreciate go into looking the part every day actually do affect our bottom line.
Interesting point, Mary. Thanks a lot for that call. Morgan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point. Super interesting. I think this appearance plays such a role, right? So, you know, on one hand, women that invest too much in their appearance are seen as not being well prepared for work. But on the other hand, there has to be some amount of investment. And we don't have the same standard for men, right? In fact, like, we associate lots of very intelligent, great, effective leaders in men. We associate them with being kind of disheveled, showing up with wrinkles and coffee stains because they can't be concerned about their appearance because they're so focused on their work. And so, again, this double bind for women, a case in which they can't really win. And also, yeah, this financial deficit that they might face from having to invest in their appearance.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Carly is with us in Rhinelander. Carly, hi.
Hey. So I actually had a couple experiences being discriminated against by clients or customers versus coworkers or employees. I was working in web design for a while, which tends to be a male-dominated field. And a lot of times I would get a client with questions, and it was like they weren't happy with my answer. And then one of my male colleagues would get on, and then they would be like, okay. So that was the only reason I could think of why that might be the case. But otherwise, I've had people come into where I was working retail. I was literally training another employee one day. She was middle-aged. I was late 20s. They all just assumed she knew everything. It was her first day. And she's like, I don't know. Whereas I was the one training her.
Gotcha. Carly, thank you for sharing those experiences with us. Morgan, there it is in real time. It sounds like in Carly's life, people just not assuming she doesn't have the credentials and looking to someone of a different gender or age to give the answer that Carly could have given in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Thanks for that call, Carly. Morgan, can you just leave us with a thought on how in our own lives we can maybe check our biases against women based on their ages?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think it's important to acknowledge that we all engage in stereotyping. We do it regularly, and sometimes it can help us. We're really confronted with lots of complex information every day, and sometimes generalizing about things can help us just simplify all the information that we're confronted with. But other times it can be very negative. And so it's also important that we make sure that we're not perpetuating these kinds of stereotypes that we know can have real harm for people's lives, especially for younger or older women in the workplace, being very conscious of how this bias might leak in ways that we might not even be aware of.
Morgan, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Morgan Gerald, assistant professor of psychology at UW-Madison. She researches factors that influence race and gender stereotypes. She joined us for a look at the ways women face age discrimination in the workplace throughout their careers. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Courtney Everett is in the studio with me. Your gift right now is important because gifts from people like you are the biggest source of funding for WPR programs. All the shows you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a gift of a goal of 20 gifts. We need the 20 gifts. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, Rob, I really enjoyed your conversation about discrimination in the workplace and, you know, the different ages and generations that are experiencing that now. And then the callers, you know, where else do you have that opportunity to hear from the audience? It's just so important. And, you know, programs like Central Time, that is why people should contribute to WPR.
WPR is listener supported. That means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes that conversation and all the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
An ongoing monthly gift is a reliable and convenient way to support WPR programs. In fact, more than 26,000 sustainers agree.
And there's room for you to join them. We think you're going to like it. Set up a monthly amount to come out of your bank account or your credit card, and then that donation is going to continue automatically every month, so for as long as you want it to. It's easy to get started with a gift of $5 or $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listen to WPR with your kids and enjoy how it sparks conversations, or maybe it's at dinner, you might share something you heard earlier in the day.
Public radio is a great start to quality conversations. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps that connection going.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin public radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. It is a less than a cup of coffee, soda, a candy bar. There are not a lot of things that are less than a dollar these days.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set it up as a monthly transfer from a bank account or your credit card. Make your gift now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 20 gifts this hour. This goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mary in Madison says, I listen to WPR all the time. I love Central Time. Thank you, Mary. Oh, especially Food Friday. I love Food Friday, too. Makes me a little hungry on those Friday work days. Join Mary with your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Up next, a reporter brings us the latest from Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board after Republicans in a state Senate committee voted against confirming nominees put forward by Governor Evers. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Courtney Everett is in the studio with me. Listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts. Thank you if you've already given.
If you haven't, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the programs you value possible.
Chances are Wisconsin Public Radio has covered an issue that's close to you, whether it's gardening, healthcare. Earlier, we were talking about age discrimination in the workplace. These are all topics that you can count on WPR covering that are relevant and interesting and, of course, enjoyable because WPR touches your life. So make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio without giving because you didn't know we're listener supported. Well, we are. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. You're still listening, so now's the perfect time to support the programming you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tuesdays often get passed over as just another midweek day.
Tuesdays are always difficult just because it's not quite the middle of the week yet.
Because you still have to get up early for work.
Just kind of middling while not being the middle.
Tuesdays are so early in the week that I find myself cranky, wanting lunch at 11 a.m. and in desperate need of a nap.
Who doesn't love tacos on Tuesdays?
I'm tired of Tuesday dominating our tacos, and I think it's about time we give more tacos to the rest of the week.
It's not the weekend, it's not hump day, they're sort of neutral.
This member drive, that's about to change. Today is $10 Tuesday, your chance to ask for the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month. This special offer is only available today, so give now. Here's how.
Make that Tuesday gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 during this fall member drive. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Courtney Everett. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really makes a difference for our entire community.
Today, when you support the programs you value on WPR, give the amount that is comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month, some give $100 or more.
Whatever amount you give, it'll support the programs that enhance your life and that give you information and entertainment every day. So give now whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. You are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, you can join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make WPR possible when you give.
It is $10 Tuesday. We have that special offer for you. Just today, ask for the WPR baseball cap and you give $10 a month or more. Support the WPR programs you value and add this stylish hat to your wardrobe. Ask for yours now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Earlier we heard of Taco Tuesday. I like this $10 Tuesday. You can have a taco and give some $10. And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It is so easy to set up. You make ongoing monthly donations to provide reliable support for the programs you love. You can do that from your bank account or even credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer in Elgin, Illinois says, WPR covers so many intriguing topics. You are one of my favorite daily habits. Jennifer, thank you so much for supporting this daily habit of yours, Wisconsin Public Radio. How about you? You count on us for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it. We really wouldn't be what we are at Wisconsin Public Radio without you and thousands of people who have given to make it possible over the years, over the decades. Join that amazing tradition right now with your gift. Takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Natural Resources Board, which sets policy for Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources, has been making headlines again. Last week, Republicans in the State Senate's Committee on Financial Institutions and Sporting Heritage voted against confirming 4 out of 5 appointees that Governor Tony Evers had put forward to fill open seats on that board. The move could end up delaying the board's upcoming vote on the state's wolf management plan, which has sparked controversy in recent years. It also follows a recent trend of partisan politics interfering with the everyday business of the NRB, which is led by citizens and at least supposed to be non-political. Our next guest has been following that story closely, brings us the latest in this ongoing saga. Laura Schulte is an environmental reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers the intersection of state government and natural resources in Wisconsin. Laura, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Laura, before we dig into the twists and turns here, remind us what the Natural Resources Board is and what it does.
So the Natural Resources Board is a board of seven individuals appointed by the governors, depending on the time. They're appointed by the governors to set policy for the DNR. So when we see rules coming out of the DNR, employees of the DNR work to create those rules, and then they go through vetting by the Natural Resources Board. So they'll take several votes to approve the scope statements and eventually, you know, the rule that gets sent to the legislature for approval.
Appointments to the Natural Resources Board, you know, they've been going on for years and years. The recent controversy seems to start with the Fred Prain story. Can you remind us what happened there and the long standoff, basically, over one of Governor Evers' appointments?
Yes. So at the end of April 2021, Governor Evers appointed Sandra Dinas, and she was to succeed Frederick Prain. But Mr. Prain did not step down from the board at that time. He ultimately ended up holding on to his seat until December of last year, right before Christmas. And there were, you know, there was a lawsuit brought by Attorney General Call in an attempt to move Prain. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court ultimately decided that because Dr. Prain would not leave his seat, there was not a vacancy on the board. Therefore, NAS had no vacant seat to go into. But that changed when Dr. Prain, at the end of last year, stepped down, creating, therefore, a vacancy on the board. Sandra D was allowed to take her seat on the board and ultimately voted for the first time on the board in January. But, you know, in those almost 2 years between those two things, there was a lot of political back and forth with at first Dr. Prain saying, no, this was not a political choice. He just wanted to simply vote on these issues that he was passionate about. But over a series of records requests, we found that, in fact, the decision was actually very political. And he had been, you know, talking and emailing with, you know, senators and lobbyists and even some of our congressional delegation about, you know, his political motivations for wanting to retain his seat on the board.
Okay, now, as you mentioned, Prain out, Nas in, everything's back to normal, right? Except now we have the Senate taking action on these appointments, some after months, even I think a year or two in some cases. And a committee, now this isn't the final story, but this committee voted no on four of Governor Evers' appointees. Talk us through what happened.
Yeah, so over the last several months, this committee has been holding public hearings for the members of the NRB that are not confirmed. There's five of them. And ultimately, last week it voted and, you know, voted down three or four of those appointments. So we're kind of stuck right there. Those members are still serving as you know, a part of the board right now. So they'll be able to vote at the next month's meeting and everything like that. But if they were to be voted on by the end, and get a no vote again, then they would be removed from the board and Governor Evers would be required to appoint four new people.
What did we hear from the Republicans on this committee who voted against these appointees?
Yeah, so we have heard in particular that the Wolf management plan is a sticking point. We had Senator Corey Tomchick from a Republican from Mosinee. He really said the sticking issue was wolves in a statement last week that he sent to us. And he said, you know, Paul Burr was the only appointee who showed, you know, a glimmer of hope that he might understand the devastation wolves are causing. And then Senator Mary Felskowski of Irma, who also sits on the committee, you know, said that she did her due diligence. She met with all these appointees and, you know, she only ended up voting in favor of one appointee because the other appointees didn't have the same value as her Northwoods constituents.
And then what have Democrats and the governor's office said in response?
So the governor's office said it was outrageous that, you know, these dedicated and qualified public citizens who are volunteering their time and energy, you know, were shot down. You know, they've been... the governor's office said they've been subjected to the political ire of Wisconsin Republicans whose own resumes wouldn't pass for filling these very roles. And then the Democratic members of that committee, Senator Mark Spitzer and Senator Dianne Hesselbein, you know, kind of joined in with Governor Evers and said, you know, these appointees were exactly what, you know, the people who need to be appointed. They're Wisconsinites from every corner of the state who have a relationship with agriculture and sporting heritage and hunting and fishing, and that the Republicans just set all of that aside to push their partisan agenda.
Talking to Laura Schulte with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the latest appointment battle between the governor and the state Senate. This time it's at the Natural Resource Board, a key sort of goal-setting agency that works with the Department of Natural Resources. We're looking at what happened there and what could happen next. And let's turn to that now, Laura. You mentioned this is a committee. This vote doesn't knock anybody off the job, but it now goes to the full Senate. Or does it? Does the full Senate have to take this up? What are they talking about there?
Yeah, you know, so far we haven't seen any of these appointments show up on a Senate agenda. We don't have any out right now. But, you know, these appointments will, you know, kind of just stay the way they are. These people will continue to serve on the board until, you know, the Senate holds a yes or no vote. So we're kind of stuck in this waiting period right now, waiting to see what the Senate does.
This is a pretty common theme in a number of agencies, including the Secretary of Natural Resources. This has been an issue where there's an appointee. They are on the job, but they are the appointee designee. How common has this been with Governor Evers, a Democrat as governor, and then a Senate control of the Republican control of the state Senate?
Yeah, this has been really, really common. You know, like we saw after Sandra Dinas was appointed in 2021, you know, they did not take up her appointment at either the committee or the full Senate level for nearly 2 years. And that happened to dozens of Evers appointees at the end of his last term. You know, the Senate just didn't take them up and they kind of just languished there and kind of waited. But that kind of changed after Evers won re-election. Republicans kind of have begun taking up appointees, though not many have received votes from the full Senate yet. And yes, a DNR Secretary Adam Payne is one of the appointees who has received a public hearing at the committee level a couple of months ago now, but has not yet received a vote at the full Senate, and we still don't have any indication of when that will occur.
Okay, now back to the board in particular. They've got all these members appointed by the governor, not confirmed, not rejected. Is it in the meantime, unless and until the full Senate takes a vote, is it just business as usual for the Natural Resources Board?
It is. It's business as usual. But, you know, one of the concerns that I've heard raised by some environmental organizations is that, you know, there might be worry hanging over these board members' heads that if they vote the wrong way, the Senate will, you know, pull up their name at the next, you know, full Senate hearing or full Senate session and, you know, vote on them for making a decision that they don't like. So there are still a lot of questions, even though everything is operating as normal.
And the wolf issue at the heart of this, Laura, this is something we've talked a lot on this show over the years. It's something I know you watch at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It seems like everybody seems to agree, you know, there should be some level of wolves. Republicans looking for a commitment to a lower number in the few hundred range. The DNR saying we could support 1,000-ish and not putting a number on it. Can you talk about the latest that you're hearing in this debate over how many wolves is too many?
Yeah. So as you know, the DNR has proposed a more flexible management plan, which would require the DNR to look at the population every year and establish a hunting quota if a season were to be opened again. And on the other hand, Republican legislators have pushed back on that. They want a much lower population goal of about 350 animals, which is a huge gap, which means, you know, the level of hunting where a season to be opened again would greatly differ. And right now we have Republicans pushing some legislation that got a hearing a couple of weeks ago, but we're not sure, you know, where we'll see that go at this point. And the DNR's plan is up for public hearings in the coming months. So we're still not sure, you know, where any of these will go. We're kind of watching for what will happen.
And Laura, are there other big issues or votes coming to the Natural Resources Board in the nearest future that you have your eyes on?
Yeah, there are. In the coming months, we're likely going to see, you know, the first of the PFAS rule that will set standards for PFAS in groundwater, which is the only form of water in which PFAS are not regulated at this point, and where we've been seeing a lot of issues for homeowners with PFAS in private wells. It'll kind of help them, if there is a standard, you know, make sure they're keeping themselves safe and give them access to more resources through the state as well. So we'll be watching that. There's some public hearings coming up on that in the next month, and then hopefully a vote before the end of the year.
Laura, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's Laura Schulte, environmental reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers the intersection of state government and natural resources in Wisconsin. been talking about the latest from Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board, including a Senate committee's rejection of a number of Evers appointees there and the ongoing controversy over the wolf hunt here in the state. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes WPR your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Courtney Everett is in the studio with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on. Do it right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When 20 people join in, we'll meet our goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you value. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we checked out some very fresh news there about a committee vote against key appointees to this Natural Resources Board. It's a story that's been going on a long time. It's an opportunity to put that into context, why it matters, what's been happening, the arguments from different perspectives on this issue. It's an example of the way we dig behind the headlines, get the full context on the issue on shows like The Morning Show and on Central Time. You can count on that from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, exactly. WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Today is not your ordinary Tuesday. It's $10 Tuesday. Ask for the new Wisconsin Public Radio baseball cap. When you give $10 a month or more, this light green hat features a retro radio design. It'll let the world know you support independent journalism and smart entertainment. It's a special offer available only today, $10 Tuesday. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What I enjoy about WPR is that they always have topics that are of interest to me. I like to keep up on current events, I like to keep up on Wisconsin politics, and I feel like WPR has really been my go-to source for that information. I feel like when I am a sustaining member of WPR that I am paying for a service, basically. Wisconsin Public Radio is something that sustains me throughout the year. It sustains me during my workday. I listen to it. It keeps me informed and educated, so I wanted to give back. My mother always told me that the free things we receive in life, we should try to give back to later on in life. So that's something that I feel very strongly about, too. It makes me feel like I'm carrying on that tradition. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 during this fall member drive. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Courtney Everett. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
Yes, it does. And the world is constantly changing. And people like Bridget, who we just heard from, she's taking that time to donate so that way our audience can stay up to date on daily news and information.
WPR members make that access to information possible. Right now, invest in the programs you count on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. Your gift makes a difference right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them and for you. That might be a gift or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or the family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like the other stuff that's important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's 20 gifts this hour, and this goal is so important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This special offer today, ask for the Wisconsin Public Radio baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. You've seen this cap in the wild. Well, here in the studio anyway.
In the wild. It is very, very chic. I like it.
Yeah, it's a great base cap. I think I may end up one of my own. When I wear it, I'll show off my support for WPR programs you value. Wait, do I hear the seething sounds of jealousy from you? You don't have to be jealous because you can get one of your own. You can give $10 a month. That's today only, the $10 a month part. Ask your very own Wisconsin Public Radio cap at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a special thank you to Marion Appleton, who says, I love the news, music, and sense of community that WPR gives. It's on all day in my home and car. Thank you so much, Mary. We really appreciate it. And you can become a sustaining member, too, at 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org.
Hey, if you've never given before, love right now to hear from first-time donors, first-time members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your first-ever gift at any amount you choose. You can do it online at WPR.org or make a quick phone call at 888-202-2552. The clock is ticking on $10 Tuesday here on the WPR Fall Member Drive. Your chance to get the brand new Wisconsin Public Radio baseball cap for a gift of $10 a month or more. Make that gift, get that hat at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you can join us this hour. We only have about 10 seconds left, but you can always join us the next hour as well. You can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can't do it without you. We count on you to help support the conversations that you count on hearing each and every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Become part of the Wisconsin Public Radio team and maybe sport a baseball cap with a team logo on it when you give
$10
a month or more.
Yeah.
$10 a month or more. Make that gift right now online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.